Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio Empowered Communication Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. Tonight, Kelly Ward and myself, we will be taking questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that offer monthly ladies groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Dr. Pat Allen's WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups and other services, please email me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office at 949-723-0338. Kelly Ward and myself, we are one of the facilitators that do the ladies groups, if you're interested. Kelly, are you on the show? Are you on the line?
I'm here with you.
Thank you. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing? And remember, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. We'd love to take your questions.
Wow, I'm having a great time with my ladies groups, and so many of my ladies are getting engaged, and they're getting boyfriends, and they're practicing their femininity, and it's pretty rewarding, and it's awesome to see them grow and bloom into loving, communicating female energy people.
Yeah. Dr. Pat Allen also has ladies groups, but her groups right now, she has full groups. So she's just going to keep her current group ladies, and she's passing the new ladies on to you and me. So unfortunately, you won't be able to see Dr. Pat Allen in the ladies groups, but you can have me and Kelly, and we've been trained by Dr. Pat. Dr. Pat's not on the show tonight. We thought we were having some technical difficulties, but she'll be on next week. Kelly?
Yes, she will. She's going to be with us next week. And Dr. Pat, on Fridays, does her script classes, which are amazing.
Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. What can I help you with?
Oh, hi. Thank you for picking up. I was on the WANT Institute website, and I wanted to know about these four styles of men and women, the monk, the Peter Pan, the sugar daddy, and the real man. And then
those
the
are
four styles of women.
Yeah, those are the archetypes. Kelly, do you want to help him with that? Because that's a detailed thing. That takes a lot of information. I'd be happy to email you the information because those are different styles.
Yeah, they are. Okay. So just in a nutshell, we have Peter Pan, and if you know anything about the movie or the story of Peter Pan never wants to grow up. He wants to be a boy forever, and he's looking for his Wendy to sew his shadow back on his heel. And so he's very lovable, but very childlike. And then the sugar daddy is just what it says. He's the one, he's looking for the young, pretty young thing, and he's going to fund her to love him. That's the way the sugar daddy goes. Now, the monk, he wants none of the physical romantic type relationship thing. He's stoic to a fault, and he's looking for the nun. And then the real man is a man who is looking to have a long-term relationship, a relationship that's fulfilling, and he wants to be respected, and he wants to be with a woman who wants to be cherished. And that is pretty much it in a nutshell. It goes into much more depth, but if we went into it tonight, we would not talk about anything else. But if Sue's got the data to send you, that would be awesome.
I can do that because, the Wendy is the one, she takes care of little boys. And different people have different names for these archive. But these are Dr. Pat Allen's. And she's got like Daisy Daffodil and Bertha Balls. There's so many different ones. Bertha Balls is the very masculine lady that she pushes men around.
Right. The Claw Woman.
Uh-huh. The Claw Woman, too. So there's numerous different archetypes.
Yeah, a lot of it's based on Jungian theory. So that's some more research you could do is through Carl Jung. So, but I think Sue has got some stuff from Dr. Pat that would be really dynamite for you to be able to read. Does that help at all?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. It's just, I guess I haven't listened to the show enough to, you know, backtrack through the archives. And I don't really recall Dr. Allen speaking on those. But I guess I haven't listened enough. But thank you. So if you want to, send me some information, I'd
just
be happy to.
You can contact me. You can contact me at info@drpatallen.com and I'll be happy to send you some information.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate
calling.
You.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
good
for
night.
Calling.
That goes into, that's a good question because I was just looking through that the other day. She's got all the diagrams of the archetypes and what they represent. Oh, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. So my boyfriend's an addict, and he was clean for like 6 months, but he relapsed like twice in 2 weeks. And he's like asking me for forgiveness and everything. And he's working his program again and going to meetings and everything. But I just, I want to forgive him, but I just feel, so much resentment and hurt from it. I don't know how to move on from that.
Well, relationships are a risk. And unfortunately, you have to process forgiving him. There is no certain time that he can tell you to that you have to be over it. That's a hard one. My daughter's going through that as well. Sometimes you have to go to a therapist to help process your anger and your resentment form, or you'll never be able to move on to another man as well if you choose to leave.
Right. I just feel so much anger and resentment.
There's a therapist could help you process the anger. Because if you don't process it with the anger you have with him, whether you stay or leave, you'll be mad at the next guy. He'll get your anger from the guy before this guy. It can take a long time to forgive him. And it's a track record. Dr. Allen says, don't trust anybody. Watch their trustworthy record. And if he hasn't had a very good trustworthy record, that's a good sign that you're always going to be up and down with him. But that's your choice.
He actually did. He was doing really good. And it was more of a self-sabotage because everything was fine. And then that's when he relapsed because everything was fine. And he was doing everything.
Was there a reason why he may have relapsed? Is there some stressor or some kind of a thing going on that caused him to relapse?
Yeah, he was doing a welding lab, and he was he finished it, he passed it and everything. So he was felt pressure to get a job and everything, but he had interviews lined up. He was fine. And then he just, I think it had to be self-sabotage. Everything was fine.
Some people, they drink and do drugs for self-medication. Because he may not feel worthy, or something happened in his childhood where he doesn't feel he deserves anything good. So they self-medicate
that's what he was saying.
Out of their head. Yeah. Has he gone into any kind of therapy to help work on whatever happened with him?
Just a little bit, like when he was in a rehab program, like months, like last year, but he kind of like thought like, oh, it's fine. Like he doesn't need it. And he like dropped off from going to meetings and things because he's not like a regular drug user, but like still like, it's not normal, you know, not what normal people do.
When he's not a regular one, that means he does self-medicate. It's not an addiction. It's self-medicate when he doesn't feel good or he wants to self-sabotage. He probably should be into some kind of the 12-step program just so he can go and talk and vent and get support, or maybe even some kind of a men's group.
He's going to meetings again and everything.
Well, make that a request if you want to forgive. If you want, you know, tell him that you'll work on forgiving if he does da-da-da-da-da. Set a boundary on what you're willing to forgive him if he does this, this, and this.
Okay.
It's a start. He may not do what you request or your boundaries, but then you'll know your answer.
He usually does everything that I ask about. It's just like exhausting for me, like emotionally. It's just like exhausting. Like it's just like, I feel like I have like PTSD from it because it was like three things all in like 1 month.
When you talk to him, Dr. Allen has a stroke and stand. You always stroke him. I appreciate that you went off the wagon. However, I'm not comfortable with this kind of behavior. And if you continue to do it, I'll be leaving. Or how do you communicate that you're upset?
I say that like I'm not comfortable with the behavior and that I'll leave him. And then he just starts freaking out and like, that's like part of the problem too. Like if I want space, then he just like called me. He did not even give me like a minute of space.
Do you do the stroke first though, before you make your stand? Like you would
no,
say,
I haven't really been doing that.
Yeah. Because the stroke is, everybody leaves that out because that's the most important part is if he calls you and after you requested no communication, if you say, look, honey, I appreciate you want to talk to me. It's wonderful to talk to you. However, I want to have 3 days of me time. Please honor my request. I'll be more than happy to talk to you after the 3 days. What do you think about giving me my space?
Okay.
Stroke, stand, and then make the agreement contract. But always remember the stroke, even if you don't like what he says or does. You have to appreciate.
Okay.
Yes, very important.
Because that was another problem, too. Like, he wants to spend, like, every minute together, and it's just exhausting for me. And then sometimes I'll just, like, give in and just spend time with him, but then I get, like, angry and resentful the whole time I'm with him because I just wanted my time alone.
Well, it sounds like you have a difficult time setting boundaries for yourself as well. So this guy really has you worked up. So,
yeah.
When you want to set a boundary of times with space by yourself, just tell him, do the stroke. Like I said before, I appreciate you want to spend the next couple of days with me. I really want to have 3 days by myself to recoup. It's very important for me to have my downtime. What do you think about giving me this downtime? And I'd be more than happy to contact you after the 3 days. And then if he's not willing to keep his commitments, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. That's his end. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Good luck with that. Give us a call back if you need some more help.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry to hear this.
Yeah, that's a rugged one. And you're right. Self-medication is a thing. And sometimes they can't help it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's an addict. It sounds like he's more of self-sabotage. He's got stuff going around. And if he doesn't want to seek self-help work, that means he might have some trauma that he doesn't want to open up. And he's drinking to numb the pain of whatever might have happened.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like what's going on with that one.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating. And I'm sure she is frustrated and you know. It can be. But, you know, everybody has that right.
Yes, they do.
And sometimes backsliding and falling off the wagon is part of recovery.
Yes, it is. But there has to be some form where she can live happily ever after as well without having to be a nurse every time, you know, have to take care of him and deal with that. That's kind of hard on her body.
Oh, 100%. It is. So I totally get why she's angry and feels so frustrated. That makes sense.
Yes.
And you're right. The earlier question about the archetypes is a really cool question. I'm really glad that he reached out, and I hope he sends you his email address so you can send him that stuff.
Oh, I hope so, because it's in Dr. Allen's. And just to let you know, you can, if he's still listening, go to our website, drpatallen.com. There's a video to watch, a streaming video. It's free, no charge. It's like an hour. It's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It says free access. It's like a big red tab. Just click it. Goes through all of her tools and all through the different, it's all of Dr. Allen's material. So it's her stroke and stand, her relationship contract item. And it goes back to all different types of stuff that Dr. Allen teaches. So that's on our website, drpatallen.com. Kelly, do you want to advertise a little bit about our ladies groups we have coming up? I think Augusts are full, but we have
I think you told me Augusts are full. I think we're opening up in September. We've got some spots left. Most of Dr. Allen's spots, if not all of Dr. Allen's spots for September, are already filled.
Yeah, Dr. Allen, her ladies seem to stay. So we're not adding any more. There's no more wait list or adding on to Dr. Pat Allen's, because unfortunately the ladies just don't get in. So the current ladies have full access, and then we're going to kind of downsize them eventually. But me and Kelly have opened up our groups more. We have more times and space open.
Yeah, we do. So if you're looking for some help and looking for a group of ladies to find some camaraderie with and to share what's going on in your life on top of us sharing the tools, it becomes like a little micro community, and the ladies really end up making friends with each other on top of everything else, and they're able to reach out almost like a sponsor or a 12-step program when they're not in group and they're alone and they're like, oh no, I forgot what to do. One of the other ladies will usually help. It's kind of great. It kind of builds this, like, little community of women that are all working on the same thing, maybe not in the same exact way or the exact same thing, but pretty close. So it's a lot of fun. It is. It's a lot of fun, and it's pretty rewarding. And I find that the group scenario works much, much better than individual counseling. You know, because when the other ladies share, sometimes it'll bring up something for our women that they didn't think of or they hadn't touched on yet, or it triggers something in their mind. It's pretty neat. How are your groups going?
Well, most of my groups, I have most of the ladies, they're trying to get into relationships. So we do the online. I help them with their online profile and help them how to kind of, you know, I wouldn't say screen, but look for good quality men. A lot of my ladies, I tell them to look for the profiles that want long-term committed relationships headed towards marriage. Not just look at the profile. You have to look at what he's looking for too. Otherwise, you're incompatible. If he doesn't want a long term and you do, don't waste your time with him. So that seems to be most of the ladies just want to go with the pictures, the way the guys look. And there's a lot more to relationships. Remember, Dr. Allen says women pick with their ears, not their eyes. So you have to go out with the guy at least 2 to 3 times to see what he has to offer you. And that's very hard, because the women see the guy the first time, I don't like him. Then they don't want him. You know, they're always discounting him right away. It's called blemished. And so it's hard to get them to stay with these men, to date them and try and get them to date them at least 2 or 3 times.
That's true. One of the other things, too, that I have an experience with my ladies is they don't want to put in their profile what they're looking for because they know that, you know, whatever that term is, they're getting swiped lefted or swiped right. Well, if I tell them that I'm looking for a long-term relationship and marriage, then they won't swipe on me. And I'm like, but that's the whole thing of like weeding them out. You don't want somebody who isn't compatible. You're not going to talk them into it.
No,
if a man tells you, I don't want to get married, I'm not interested in marriage, I'm interested in hooking up, that's what he's interested in. He's being honest. Men are pretty honest that way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are players that'll play you and what have you, but typically if they're on a dating site and their profile says that they're not interested in marriage, trust them. They're not.
And the other thing that I help the ladies with, duty dating. Keep three guys dating at the same time. I get ladies that pick one guy. They like that one guy and they only over-focus on that one guy. And then that guy turns out to be not what they're looking for. And they've dumped all the other guys that have been reaching out. Duty date with at least three guys. Try and go on two dates a week with different guys so you can pick the best guy. And hopefully, don't get into a committed relationship with sex until you get to know the man. I tell my ladies, maybe 2 months. So you don't get bonded and you get to know them a little bit. But a lot of women, they hook up too fast and then they find out they don't like the guy.
There's the concept of the instant monogamy, which is always, okay, one is too few, three is perfect, two is 50-50. You can't do it that way. You need three options to look at what's going on.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody's perfect on the first date. Well, you know, everybody's perfect for the first 3 months. It's not until the second 3 months or a few dates in that the mass starts to, you know, tatter around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know. And then if you hop into bed with them and you get yourself bonded with oxytocin, then you're really in trouble. Mm-hmm. Then you're in trouble. And then it's really hard to date again, because not only are you in pain and scared, you don't want to try again. So, and it's like we always say, relationships are a risk. You have to take it.
So I get a lot of my ladies, I'm going to ask you this, Kelly, a lot of ladies, they do that swipe, you know, I think I looked at Hinge was pretty good because they have different profiles and you can find out a little bit more, but the dating apps, these women are getting burned out of them. Do you know of any other way? Because they're starting to get tired of, well, I'm tired of the dating apps. And I tell them, go to a coffee shop. Oh, I don't want to, you know, they don't seem to want to go meet the men. Like he's going to pop through the chimney. What would your advice to be for these women to go meet good quality men?
I love that you asked me that. And I'll tell you a story. I had a dear, dear friend who wanted love. She wanted romance. She wanted a relationship, but she was not willing to do the work. She didn't want to go on dating apps.
Exactly.
And she didn't want to go out in the world and, you know, present, if you will. I won't say hunt. I'll say present.
Uh-huh.
And so I said to her, who do you think your husband's going to be? The UPS man or the FedEx guy?
Or the mailman.
They're probably both married.
Yeah.
So, you know, Prince Charming's not coming to knock on your door. If you don't get out there, and here's the thing, you know, if you are looking for a certain kind of man, say you really love golf, you know, you should be going to a nice golf club or a couple of golf courses in your area, playing a few holes of golf or going to the range where they chip or whatever. And being there in your cute little golf outfit and smiling and locking eyes, because now you have something in common already. You both like golf. You know, if you like to bowl, maybe get into a bowling league and things like that. If you love to go and, you know, try different kinds of juices, or maybe you go to a cooking thing, you know, there's all kinds of groups and things that you can do, but you got to be willing to do the work because, you know, the UPS man, the FedEx man, the mailman, and the guy that does the grocery delivery or the Uber driver, is that who you're looking for? you know, if you're looking for a cowboy, you're not going to Wall Street.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. Like, for example, right now in my little town, the fair starts tonight. And, you know, there's going to be cowboys and bull riding and all that kind of stuff. So if you're really into that, like, you know, there used to be a thing called the calendar section in the Los Angeles Times where all the up-and-coming events were coming, like music in the park and art in the park and all of that. And so if you liked music and they were playing, you know, jazz or whatever, you could go there. You could meet people that like the same kind of music. You're always looking for something in common with somebody that you are interested in and you want to date. At least one commonality makes for a better time with compatibility. You know, if you're a foodie and you like, you know, you meet a guy at Taco Bell, you're probably not meeting a foodie. So maybe you go like to, you know, a cooking class. And everybody's like, well, only women are there. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like the top chefs are like Gordon Ramsay, Bobby Flay. They're all dudes. There's a lot of guy chefs. So no, that's not true. So I think that if you're not willing to put in the work, whether you're willing or not to put in the work on a dating app, which let's face it, it's more convenient, but there's no smell there. So if you meet somebody for the first time and they don't smell right, you know, of course you're not going to want to go out with them again. And everybody's like, well, he didn't smell bad, but he didn't smell right. There's a difference between smelling bad and smelling right.
But then also, you know, how sometimes Pat says to go out with them three times because your picker may be off and you need to desensitize because your picker may be geared towards a bad guy. And we want to kind of get you familiar with a good guy. You're used to picking bad guys. So we have to desensitize you to try going out with a nice, quiet, maybe boring, but not that wants a relationship.
I would say out of all of my women, 90% of them started out with a bad picker.
Yes, all of mine start out with a bad picker. And their picker, they pick the same model over and over. And when I ask them to go out with this guy, you know, oh, there's no chemistry. You won't have chemistry for a while. He's a nice guy, but he has all the qualities you're looking for. He just doesn't give you all the drama.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting things. If you're looking to get married, are you looking for passion or are you looking for somebody who can be your best friend? Mm-hmm. That when you're down and when you're down and out and you're not well, is that person the person that's going to bring you soup or go, oh my God, you're so irritating? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where you're going with the bad boys. They don't want to, they're not cherishing, they're not caring. They're out for themselves, and I get it. You know, they're exciting, but it's like, you know, I did that exciting, passionate guy thing in my youth, you know, in my youth, yes. Like in my teens and my early 20s. And then I was like, this is really not great. This just keeps circling right back around because you may be going over to the cereal aisle and picking up Rice Chex, but when you open the box, there's cornflakes inside. And you're like, well, then I'll get Choco Krispies. And then you open it up and there's cornflakes inside. You know, the outer packaging, but you keep picking the cornflakes. You know, and we do that, especially when we're younger and we don't have a lot of experience. But my ladies with the bad pickers weren't always young. A lot of them were older. And I'm like, you've been doing bad picker work for like 40 years. Like, you got to stop with the bad picker. And passion's great, but it's at the end of the day or at the end of your days. Is there somebody there? I mean, that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody to sit and watch the sunset with. You know, maybe it wasn't this wild, ravenous bodice ripper, you know, novel that you get from Danielle Steele.
Yeah. But it was that's something. That's what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, but it was something real. Yeah. You know, I mean, not everybody's the Wolf of Wall Street. So, you know, and not everybody looks like Keanu Reeves. God save us.
Let me ask you another question. I've had a person question. Some women that are highly educated want a man that's the same education as them. And I have, you know, in my opinion, some men may not have the schooling, but they're street smart and they can still make a lot of money and do a lot of good things, you know, as far as make money. But they want on the same intellectual level. But I tell them that's dangerous because then you're both masculine and you will ruin the intimacy. What's your take on that philosophy with intelligence?
Well, I had a woman, a professional woman. She was incredibly masculine. She was an attorney, a pretty high profile, high powered attorney, very masculine, incredibly masculine. And she said, I want somebody more masculine than me. And I'm like, well, we are going to have to look for like Iron Man or He-Man. Like you're going to have to like thin it down a little bit. So she was dating other lawyers and that was a recipe for disaster. They were intellectually matched. And she was highly unsatisfied. So I said, I just want you to try something different for a change. Instead of going out with attorneys and these high profile people that have all this, you know, Harvard education, why don't you try somebody who's more earthy? And so she ended up meeting a general contractor in the supermarket. Because I made her do exercises of walking through the supermarket and asking things like, is this melon ripe? I mean, you know, it was silly, yeah, but it worked. So she met this general contractor and 6 months they were engaged. Inside the first year, she was pregnant. They're blissfully happy. He is incredibly street smart. He runs his general contractor business. He makes a lot of money. He's very good at his job. She's really good at her job, but she now has the ritual. When she goes home from work, I said, take that lawyer jacket off and lock it in the trunk of your car. You go in and be sweetness and light. And it's been pretty effective. And they're actually now pregnant with baby number two. And they're really happy. Is he the same intellectually as her? Absolutely not. He has a totally different, very logic-driven sort of, you know, figure it out. And she has that too, but in a different way because she's a lawyer. So they ended up being like a brilliant match. Was he had the same level of education? Absolutely not. You know, he was a tradesman. But, you know, people want to put down tradesmen. And I'll tell you, I agree with Mike Rowe. They're necessary in this world. And if people don't see that, then they're just absolutely wrong. So I think you're right. I think having the same level of intellectual, what have you, isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, because similars repel, opposites attract. So, you know, usually you have one introvert, one extrovert. You have one leader, one follower. So if you have two highly educational people, you're going to be contemplating on who's right. You're always going to try to outdo the other one, more intelligence. It might be a while, but if you're that intelligent, don't you want to get out of your head for a while?
I mean, I would.
I want to be on work and then also intelligent with my husband or boyfriend.
Well, and it's like when I go to watch a movie, I don't want to watch this deep whatever movie that like makes me. Sometimes I just want to watch what I would call a Saturday morning matinee, something that's light and funny, you know, a movie like The Sandlot or Indiana Jones or something like that. That's just like carefree, a little adventure, you know, like Romancing the Stone, not this, you know, deep thing like Schindler's List. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. That's horrible. Like, you know, I have enough of that in my real life. Why would I want to watch that? So I think that's one of the things that people do. They think they have to match themselves with respect to, like, you know, their education. But I don't see that being an issue at all. I see it actually being negative.
Yeah. When you look and when you get older, your time clock's going too. And, you know, whites, as Pat called them, it's okay to be a spinster. That really makes them mad. But you have to, you know, you have to look at life. Do you want to be there alone or, you know, or pick people apart because they're blemished, because 51% valuable is what the good odds are. If a man is 51% valuable, he's a keeper. He's not going to be perfect, and neither will you be perfect to him all the time. So those are good odds.
Yeah, I notice that every once in a while I'll run into somebody who says, well, he does this wrong, he does that wrong, he does this wrong, he does that wrong. And I'm always struck by that. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, but why are you with him then? Well, I love him. And I'm like, but you're just nitpicking him to apart and to pieces. Like, and by the way, are you perfect? Like, so you're right. Everybody is flawed. And you're right. It's the concept of blemished. But who in this planet, who in this world, who in this life is not blemished? We all have our baggage that we carry along behind us. Hopefully it's a rolling luggage so that it's not so hard to drag along with you. But we do. All the things that have happened to our lives. But, you know, those are the things that make us who we are. They're the patchwork quilt of how we're made and how we're put together. And sometimes we can overcome, and sometimes those scars make us more beautiful. So that's one of the things that the Japanese have. You know, they repair something that's broken with beautiful gold leaf, and then the object becomes even more beautiful. So if we can look at people that way, instead of the way that a lot of times we look at them like they're blemished, then it opens up your eyes to a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm just out there. If anybody's new to the show, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. You can also email me at info@drpatallen.com if you'd like a question answered over the air. You don't have to call in. We'll answer it, and then you can listen to it on the recorded archives at a later time. You know, a lot of people, the time frame doesn't fit their time zone to call into the show, and they have questions that they want asked.
Most definitely. We get that a lot because we have people that are listening everywhere. So that's really cool. We had callers from like Brazil and Asia and Germany. And so I'm always struck by that. I'm like, oh, God, they're calling in. You know, they stayed awake to call in and talk with us. And that's a lot of fun.
And don't forget, you can order Dr. Allen's books on Amazon.com. She's got The Getting to I Do, which is her first book that everybody's very much aware of. And then she has Staying Married and Loving It. That one's a little hard to get on Amazon. Then she has The Truth About Men. There's one called The Answers that has just little blurbs in it of Dr. Allen's little sayings. And then there's, what's the newest book she has, Kelly?
It's A Man's World and A Woman's Universe.
Yes, those are all available on Amazon. And then on our website, drpatallen.com, we have that live streaming chemistry, compatibility, and communication that has all of Dr. Allen's tools. And you can get Dr. Allen's recommended book list on our website, wantinstitute.net. It has a list of Dr. Allen's charts and also her recommended book list. And there's probably about 150 books that Dr. Allen recommends people to read, different categories. And if you have a question, you can always email me at the office and I'll help you. If there's a book, if there's a certain problem you want, I'll guide you to what book Dr. Allen recommends, because there's so many books.
Yeah, you were mentioning duty dating earlier today. Uh-huh. And there's a little movie. You can probably find it on the internet.
I think it's free. You can Google it. It's free. It's an older movie. It was made like in the 90s, but it still has the information is still the same.
Yeah. So it's kind of cute, and it kind of walks you through why duty dating works. I loved watching it. I thought it was really cute and it was enjoyable. So if you're having a problem duty dating, and a lot of our women do, I get a lot of questions about it. Get a lot of women saying, well, isn't that cheating? And isn't that promiscuous? And isn't that wrong? And you're not telling everybody that you're doing, and you're not supposed to be sleeping with them. You're not supposed to be engaging in intercourse with these people. You know, back in like the olden days, I want to say like the 50s, before the flower child and love child days, people dated. You know, you went out to lunch with Skip and you went on a picnic with Bob and you went to the movies with Dave. You weren't having sex with any of them. You were just dating them, you know, to see how it worked out. That's how they did it back then. And it's kind of really very effective. So, but I feel like we've also talked about the online dating thing, but I think meeting somebody in person gets you past that weird initial meeting somebody that you've only talked to online or on the telephone. It's just kind of different. Every long-term relationship I ever had, I met the person in person. So, you know, and for a while I went on duty dates for with online dating and I was like, yeah, you know, no, I wouldn't have picked this person in person by their, you know, just by their body language and things like that. So that's kind of important. So I think if you were talking about women who don't, they're tired of the online dating scene. Well, I get that. I do. Well, I understand.
Well, yeah, I know it, but it's like it's a numbers game. It might be tiring, but it's your mindset too. If you give up and you go at it with an attitude like, oh, this is too much work, you're going to get what you're sending out. You got to go into it and do it like a job. I've had ladies with spreadsheets that actually kept spreadsheets and made it fun. So it wasn't a job. It wasn't boring and a letdown and disappointing. She made it she did a couple hours a night and she actually had fun with it because she kept notes on all the guys and it helped her pick out a lot of great guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for some women, but like I say, if they're tired of it and they want a sabbatical, then like you've got to go out in the real world and do the real work. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to walk through the supermarket. That's where my lawyer friend found her man. She walked through the supermarket. She went at a time where she knew and she could tell. You know, you can usually tell a single man doesn't have a shopping cart. He's got one of those hand baskets and, you know, he's buying a steak. And, you know, he's not buying six steaks, one or two steaks. And, you know, you can look in his basket. You can figure out if he's shopping for, you know, if there's baby formula in it, probably not a good choice.
It's a numbers game. Yeah. It may take you years on the online dating. And then, you know, sometimes you might want to pay for a service because when you get for what you pay for, if you're doing a lot of free ones, a lot of those people might just be hookups. If you pay for a service, those people are generally serious. So you have to look at the options. You know,
I 100% agree with that.
They say it's 100%. Too much. Well, you have to decide what's too much. Do you want, there's too much. Do you want to be married or, yeah.
Right. So it's interesting because it's the whole concept of business and advertising. Whenever you run into a business that doesn't advertise, you run into a business that is bound and destined to fail. So to be crass, going online and creating your profile is marketing yourself. It's advertising.
Yes,
it
is.
So if you put the money out, you're going to get a higher quality of people. And you're going to get people that are more serious because they're putting the money out too.
And yes, that's true. They're looking for they're looking for people that are serious, not just hookups.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, you have to look at it and go, okay, what's my marketing budget? And look at it like a business because, I mean, after all, when you get right down to it, marriage is a contract and it is a business.
Yes, it is.
You know, that kind of a relationship is a contract. It's a business. And it's like, who are you partnering with? Well, I don't really know, but he wouldn't pay $22 for, you know, online dating service. So I don't know, you know, look at your budget, create a budget and go about it like a business or instead of a hobby. Because, you know, with hobbies, like I can tell you right now, I haven't sewn anything in 10 years, but it's all up there in a trunk. You know, I just don't have time. It's a hobby, so it gets put off. So that's the thing. If you're going about it like it's a hobby, chances are you're going to put it aside. You're gonna step it aside. You're not going to dedicate yourself to it like you would if you were running a small business or, you know, going to your job and your work and you're like, I need extra hours, blah, blah, blah. I think you have to look at it a little bit. I mean, and that may seem like really unromantic, but the truth of the matter is that romance sometimes isn't romance. It doesn't have as much romance as, and we have these weird expectations, you know, I mean, we're raised with these expectations of the little house and the little white picket fence and, you know, so sometimes I think our expectations are a little overblown.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we have to really look at it and go, what I usually have my ladies do is I have them build their perfect man. I call him Prince Frankenstein. And so say, pick everything out that you want in this man. Now let's go through it and let's see what we can redline. Let's see what things are the absolute must-haves and which things are like, okay, I can live without that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody clips their nails and everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. You know, there very rarely is anybody who leaps up out of bed into their pants and they look like, you know, somebody gorgeous, like, oh my God, I'm perfect. So it just, I think we forget that. We, you know, there is no perfect people. There's just people that are perfect for you.
Yeah.
That's the person you're looking for. The person who's perfect for you, not the person who's perfect.
And not the person in the novels that are, they're perfect too, because we all have our flaws. So, well.
Yeah, it's like I said, I tell my ladies, go in there and take all of your Daniel Steele books and your bodice rippers and put them in a box and donate them to the coffee shop or the library or wherever it is. Because guess what? You've just set yourself up for absolute failure. Stop reading Daniel Steele. Stop it.
It's nice to read it, but it's a fantasy book. It can't, you know, I'm not saying there are some women that do have that kind of relationship, but you know, if you're out looking for that, you know, you let a lot of other candidates go by too. So anyway, we're getting ready to close down. Do you want to advertise anything else of the ladies groups?
Oh yeah, ladies, sign up for September. Don't wait when the groups fill up. They're full for that month. Get in early so you can get your seat and we can find your man.
Yeah, you can reach me for information at info@drpatallen.com. And hopefully we'll see you next week with Dr. Allen. And please feel free to write us a question or call in. Thank you, folks.
We love you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.